Two houses on Sutton Place on Lexington's west side. Same street, same era, similar lots. One of them sold last year for $298,000. The other one hasn't changed hands since 2002.
The one that sold is now assessed at exactly what it sold for, $298,000. The one that stayed put is on the books at about $102,000.
Same street, comparable houses, one tax bill is about $2,100 a year bigger than the other. And the only meaningful difference between those two households is that one of them moved.
There's an old name for this in the assessment world. They call it the welcome stranger.
From the Lexington Times, this is Town Branch, the stories running under Lexington. I'm Kay.
And I'm Pete. This is another long one and another commentary and analysis episode. And this time, it's built on data work nobody has done before. Our newsroom took the full Fayette County property roll, all 115,000 parcels, and 30 months of recorded home sales, and asked one question: who actually pays for this city? And who gets the ride?
Not who cheats. Nobody in this episode is cheating. Every discount we describe is written into the Kentucky Constitution, the state statutes, or standard assessment practice. That's exactly why it's worth an hour of your week, because the quiet, legal architecture of a tax system tells you who it was built for.
Three findings: the snap, the ride, and the paycheck. Stick with us. There's a horse farm at the end.
Start with the man who runs the machine, in his own voice, because we have it. In December 2016, the Fayette County Property Valuation Administrator, David O'Neill, sat for a full hour on a community radio show in the North Limestone neighborhood. That broadcast survives in the radio archive we rescued last week.
And to be clear at the top, O'Neill comes across as candid, helpful, and good at his job. His office isn't the villain of this episode. The law is the architecture. He's the contractor who has to build to code.
Here's the machine as he described it. The county is divided into about 300 residential neighborhoods. State law requires every property to be looked at once every 4 years. So his office reassesses about a quarter of the county each year, roughly 25,000 properties. Between your neighborhood's turns in that rotation, your assessment mostly just sits.
And how do they decide what your house is worth when your turn comes? His words: residential property is, quote, almost entirely based on sales, comparable sales, how homes like yours are selling in your immediate neighborhood.
And one more gear. His office picks up every deed recorded at the county clerk's office every day. So when your house sells, the assessor knows the price immediately.
Now hold those three gears in your head: the four-year rotation, the comp sales, the daily deed pickup, and look at what our data shows they produce.
Finding number one, the snap. We pulled every clean, arm's-length residential sale in the county from January 2024 through this spring, 7,400 of them, and compared each sale price to the property's current assessed value.
84% of the time, the assessment now sits within 2% of the sale price. The median ratio of assessment to price is exactly 1.000. Not approximately one, exactly one, in every price bracket, from the cheapest tenth of homes to the most expensive.
And we caught the machine in the act. Homes that sold through this past winter have already been snapped to their sale prices. But homes sold in just the last 3 months, paperwork still in the pipeline, are sitting at a median of 77% of what they just sold for. Same houses, same market. The only difference is whether the assessor's office has processed the deed yet.
The professional term for assessments that chase sale prices is literally sales chasing. And the standards body for assessors, the IAAO, warns about it for a specific reason. It makes a county's assessments look more uniform than they are. Every sold house grades out perfect because the test was written after the answer was known.
Which brings us to finding number two, the ride. If selling resets you to 100%, what happens to the people who never sell?
We measured it. For about 20,000 homes that haven't changed hands in 20 years or more, we estimated current market value using recent sales of physically comparable homes on the same blocks. Same neighborhood, similar age, similar lot. We validated the method against homes that actually sold, and it predicts their prices almost exactly. The full methodology is in the show notes, and we'll say plainly, it's an estimate, and we've labeled it as one.
The result? Homes held 20 plus years are assessed at a median of about 70% of what the market says they're worth. Call it a 30% discount for staying put. And it's not a rich neighborhood thing or a poor neighborhood thing. We found the same 30% in both.
That's the welcome stranger, quantified for Lexington for the first time. The tax system doesn't say it out loud, but the rule is the taxable event is buying. Move and you pay on every dollar of today's market. Stay and the lag is your loyalty discount.
And add it up across the whole city. Take only the most conservative slice. Just the homes held 20 plus years. And about $2 billion of market value is riding off the books. 7% of Lexington's entire residential roll. Extend the same method to everything that hasn't sold recently, and the estimate runs to $6 billion or more.
Now, one precision that matters. Under Kentucky's levy cap law, the city doesn't simply lose that money. When value goes missing, rates adjust and the burden shifts. So don't read $2 billion as a hole in the budget. Read it as a transfer. Off the long-held homes, onto everyone assessed at full value. The recent buyers, the new construction. The strangers pay the difference. By our math, at current rates, that transfer is worth roughly $22 million a year. And most of it is school money.
Put faces on it. On Holiday Road, a house sold last year for $1.15 million, assessed now at $1.15 million. A comparable neighbor, held for decades, sits on the books around $350,000. The gap on the annual tax bill? About $8,700.
Out on the Grange Lane, in the estate belt, one property assessed at $4.75 million after a recent sale. A comparable long-held neighbor at $2.25 million. $27,000 a year of difference at the same tax rate for the same kind of property.
And before anyone reaches for the world's smallest violin, yes, those are wealthy households on both sides of that gap. So flip to Sutton Place from our cold open or any starter home street. Because think about who, statistically, the recent buyer is.
It's the first-time buyer, the renter who finally scraped together a down payment in the most expensive market in Lexington's history. The episode 2 listener, if you've been with us. They climb onto the property ladder at last, and their reward is paying property tax on 100 cents of every dollar, parked next to neighbors riding at 70.
The welcome stranger isn't a stranger at all. She's the newest, most stretched homeowner on the street. The system hands its deepest discount to whoever needed it least recently.
Now, an honest interruption, because the assessor would have a fair objection here, and he said the relevant thing on the record. The Kentucky Constitution, Section 172, commands him to assess everything at 100% of fair cash value. When the 2024 reassessment notices went out, and some jumped 30, 40, 50%, O'Neill told reporters, "I'm still bound by the same rule, 100% of fair cash value."
And he's right. A recent sale price genuinely is the best evidence of what a house is worth. The problem isn't that sold homes get assessed accurately. It's that everything else gets assessed late. He's made essentially the same point himself, that reassessing only once every 4 years is what produces those shocking increases. The lag is the policy.
So the fix isn't mysterious, and assessors themselves know it. Model values annually, for everyone, the way half the modern world does, instead of snapping the movers and letting the stayers drift. Keep that thought. We'll come back to what that would take.
Because first we need to tell you what the lag is hiding. Remember the IAAO's warning? Sales chasing makes assessments look more uniform than they are. Researchers at the University of Chicago's Center for Municipal Finance got around that by using independent market data, and they published a county-by-county evaluation, including one for Fayette County.
Their finding: in 2023, the most expensive tenth of Lexington homes were assessed at about 72% of their value. The cheapest tenth, 99.5%. The cheapest homes in this county are assessed, and therefore taxed, at 1.4 times the rate of the priciest ones.
In dollars, by their math, the average low-value home overpays by about $180 a year. The average top-tier home underpays by about $1,400. And on the industry's own uniformity yardsticks, Fayette fails and has been getting steadily worse since 2012.
Two honesty notes. Fayette is far from the worst, ninth least regressive of Kentucky's 118 counties, by the same study. And that study uses different data and methods than our analysis. We're showing you two different instruments pointing the same direction. The system runs sweetest for whoever holds the most and moves the least.
Now zoom out to the county map, because so far we've only been talking about the parts of Fayette County with houses on them. Because nearly 6 of every 10 acres in this county aren't on that map at all in tax terms, it's horse country.
Our roll shows just under 2,000 farm class parcels covering 107,000 acres, and those acres aren't assessed at what they'd sell for. Since a constitutional amendment Kentuckians approved in 1969, farmland is assessed at its agricultural use value, what the land earns as a farm, not its market value.
The state's own method works like a rental calculation. Take what an acre rents for as farmland, divide by a rate of return. The legislature's research office walks through an example that lands at under $1,800 an acre. For land that, near the urban boundary, might sell for many times that.
How big is the gap in Fayette? The legislature's researchers rank every county by the assessment value deferred under this program. In the most recent statewide study, 2015 numbers, the latest the legislature has published, Fayette County was first in Kentucky, $1.6 billion of assessed value deferred.
Billion, with a B. In the county that also leads the state in seven-figure home sales.
And here's the wrinkle that genuinely surprised us. Most states that do use value assessment keep a clawback. If you take the farm discount for decades and then sell to a developer, you pay back some of the deferred tax. 29 states have a provision like that. Kentucky had one too.
Had. The legislature repealed it in 1992. Today, under the statute, converted land simply starts paying fair cash value tax going forward. The decades of discount are just gone. Not a dollar comes back.
So the deal on the table in Fayette County is hold land at farm value for 30 years, sell to a subdivision developer whenever the price is right, and owe nothing for the ride. The Constitution even authorizes the legislature to claw back 2 years of it. They choose not to.
And one more layer. Lexington doesn't just discount horse country's taxes, it pays horse country separately to stay horse country. The Purchase of Development Rights Program has spent roughly $80 million public dollars, city, state, and federal, buying development rights on about 33,000 of those acres since 2000. Those two programs are independent. The same acre can be paid for its development rights and assessed at farm value.
Still man time, because the case for all of this is real. Without use value assessment, a farm near the growth boundary gets taxed like a subdivision site until taxes force the sale, and then you get the subdivision. Fayette's whole identity, the growth boundary itself, the $2 billion a year agricultural economy, 1 in 12 local jobs, all of it leans on keeping that land in farming. PDR is the same logic with money attached, and it's genuinely admired nationally.
All true. And we'd add, the bluegrass is the most beautiful argument in Kentucky. But notice what the steel man doesn't explain. It doesn't explain repealing the clawback. You can protect working farms and still recover deferred taxes from the ones that cash out to developers. 29 states manage it.
And it doesn't explain the asymmetry. Because while the county's largest landholders get a use value discount with no strings, Here is the entire menu of relief available to a Lexington household. If you are 65 or older, or totally disabled, you may subtract $49,100 from your home's assessment. That's it. That's the list.
No general homestead relief for owner-occupants. No cap on how fast a tax bill can grow. And for the 47% of households in this county who rent, who pay property tax with every rent check, just laundered through a landlord, there is no circuit breaker, no credit, no relief mechanism of any kind anywhere in Kentucky law. Which brings us to the third finding. Because after all this talk about property tax, here's the punchline. Property tax barely funds your city government anyway.
We went through the adopted budget line by line. Of the $547 million general fund, all property taxes together provide about 6%. The occupational license tax, the flat 2.25% that comes out of every paycheck earned in Fayette County, plus business net profits, provides 69%. The wage tax outweighs the property tax 10-1.
Even your property tax bill mostly isn't city money. Of the roughly 1.09% a Lexington homeowner pays, about 73 cents of every dollar goes to the school district. The city government's general fund keeps about 7.
So picture the city's actual revenue machine. It is a payroll tax. From the first dollar of the lowest wage, with no floor, no cap, and no graduation, the cashier's 2.25% is the surgeon's 2.25%. Cities like Covington cap it at the Social Security wage base. Lexington doesn't.
And what doesn't it touch? Personal capital. Dividends, untaxed by the city. Capital gains on your stock portfolio, untaxed. And small landlords operating in their own names owe nothing on the rent until it passes $50,000 a year, while the tenant paying that rent was taxed on her wages from dollar one.
Why would any city build itself this way? Because the state constitution gives cities almost no choice. Section 181, Kentucky cities can levy property taxes and license fees, full stop. No local sales tax, no local income tax with brackets. The occupational fee survives on the legal fiction that it's a license to work, measured by what you earn.
Mayors of both parties begged Frankfurt for years to put a local option sales tax amendment on the ballot. The closest it came? The House passed it 80-17 in 2022, and the Senate let it die without a vote. Kentucky voters have never even been allowed to decide.
So the city leans its entire weight on wages, which is also a bet. This February, council sat through a University of Kentucky economist forecast of the occupational tax, because everyone in that room understands what it means that the general fund is 2/3 payroll in the decade when payroll itself is the thing technology is coming for.
A city funded by labor in an economy working hard to need less of it. That's not this episode, but it's coming. So assemble the map. Who pays full freight for Lexington? Wage earners from the first dollar at a flat rate. Recent home buyers, disproportionately the youngest and most financially stretched, at 100% of market value the moment the deed records. And renters who fund their landlord's property tax inside the rent and are offered nothing back.
Who rides? Households that haven't moved in decades, at about 70 cents on the market dollar. The owners of 107,000 farm-class acres at use value, with the clawback repealed. Personal capital, which the city cannot touch. And, per the University of Chicago, the most expensive homes in the county, assessed at 72%, while the cheapest are assessed at par.
Every piece of that is legal. Most of it is constitutional. Literally, it's in the Constitution. Which is the point we keep returning to on this show. You don't need a villain to get an outcome like this. You need 100 years of small choices about what to measure, what to exempt, and what to leave alone. Each one made in a room where some people were represented and others weren't.
1969, farmland gets use value by referendum. 1992, the clawback quietly dies. 2022, the local option amendment dies without a Senate vote. There's no conspiracy in that list. There's just a pattern in who the system keeps choosing to believe in.
What would an honest fix look like? Smaller than you'd think. annual valuation modeling for every parcel. The assessor already has the sales data. He picks up the deeds daily. That one change shrinks both the welcome stranger gap and the notice shock at the same time.
Restore the rollback. Kentucky doesn't have to invent anything. It had one until 1992, and 29 states still do. Keep every protection for land that stays in farming. Recover the deferral from land that cashes out.
And from Frankfurt, give localities a homestead and circuit breaker toolkit, relief that follows need instead of age alone. And finally, let Kentuckians vote on how their own cities get to raise money.
And from us, two records requests go out this week. The state's official assessment ratio study for Fayette County and the count of how many property owners actually appeal. We'll report what comes back.
The deed books told us who's buying Lexington. The tax rolls just told us who's paying for it. The receipts, as ever, are public. Somebody just has to keep reading them.
That's Town Branch. Long one. Thank you for staying down the creek with us. Every dataset, statute, study, and the December 2016 radio interview with the PVA himself are linked in the show notes, along with our methodology.
Town Branch is produced by the Lexington Times. Our voices are synthetic, and our scripts are drafted with AI from Lexington Times reporting in the public record, then fact-checked before air. This episode contains commentary and analysis alongside reporting, including original data analysis by our newsroom. Our methods are described in the episode notes, and our numbers are reproducible. Find it all at feeds.lexingtonky.news/podcast. We'll see you down the creek.